Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is good to be back together. So much is going on in our nation and in the world, and to know that we can stay connected in Jesus. And so, if you're just blessed to be alive, to be saved, and to know the Christ, the Anointed One, can you just lift up those hands or use those fingers to put some emoticons in the chat, some claps, some praise of God's immense grace and His mercy. I just thank the Lord for what He is doing amongst Ebenezer and abroad. And so we just thank the Lord for Him being God and God alone. Don't forget about all the things that we have going on in the week to encourage us to be living epistles. Yes, as we walk on our jobs, as we're in the grocery stores, as we're driving our cars, we are an example of Christ. Don't forget, we're back to the basics and we've been talking about sanctification. We're going to continue with that. And we are connected. Yes, we are all connected. We represent Christ wherever we go. And we've striven to put a lot online to encourage that walk. We want you to stay connected to that ebcnc.com. And if you don't have the app, please, please get that app also because you can get helpful notifications. Someone asked me the other day in an in-person service, like, Pastor, how do I get this app? All you have to do is go to ebcnc.com, go up to the top corner there. And you'll see some links, whether you're an iPhone user or an Android user or in between, you can download that app and you can stay connected with us. On our Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, we have virtual Bible studies, different teachings on Mondays, Tuesday, noonday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We're actually in the book of Hebrews on Wednesdays, and it's been a blessed journey. Don't forget about our Bible studies on Thursdays from 6 to 7. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's been a wonderful journey, challenging as we've been using the scriptures and applying it to our lives. As always, thank you so much for your prayers for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and yes, our 10 o'clock online. God has allowed us to really reach the world. I was thinking about that this morning, and I was like, okay, Lord, this virtual connection has the potential to reach billions. And I thank you for your support in the ministry for what you do. God loves a cheerful giver. And thank you for purposing in your heart and deciding, okay, I'm going to support the ministry. We really appreciate that. And God has blessed us. Any witnesses out there, He has blessed us all. He has been a wonderful provider. So I just want to thank you for all you do, whether you're using our app or you're sending it into our secure mailbox, or you're giving an in-person service. Want to thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't forget about there's a lot of services that are going on this month. We're connected to Lent Holy Week services, and we've got connections we have online at ebcnc.com where we can get information about the different services that are going on in our community. Well, I am ready. I am ready to get into God's Word. I want your heart to be prepared as we just go into His presence. We'll see you soon.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I shall trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over me, to keep me in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash the foot against the stone. They shall tread upon the lion and cobra, young lion and dragon shall trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore shall I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall come upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show my salvation.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading Psalms chapter 37, verse 5. God has a reason for allowing things to happen. We may never understand his wisdom, but we simply have to trust his will. And I really like this scripture because it's just telling me how everything happens for a reason. You may not know, but it's for a reason. And nothing can be done without him.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. So I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I is the author of tomorrow, and orders my steps. So this is my story, this is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. He will never fail you then. He won't fail you now. Whoa. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one. Come on, everybody sing. Who will never fail. Come on, let me hear you. He will never fail. I trust in God. Do you trust him? My Savior, the one who will never fail. Come on, everybody. He will never fail. I serve the Lord. And he heard and he answered.
I serve the Lord.
He delivered me from all my fears.
I serve the Lord.
Yes, he did.
He heard and he answered.
Yeah.
That's why I trust him. That's why
I saw the Lord,
and he heard, and he answered.
I saw the Lord,
and he heard, and he answered.
I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one.
Isn't it so good to know that we have a blessed assurance? Anybody just blessed to be blessed? Can you put that in the chat? Blessed to be blessed. That's what God is doing in our lives and has done for us. Before we go any further, I just want us to go into a moment of prayer where we just continually welcome God's presence, that he can speak to us, that we can get exactly what we need for today and as we go through our week. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we've all gone through something in the last 7 days, the last couple of weeks, the last month, but we're here. We're gathered here, and we need you to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray for those that are listening today and viewing that may not know you, that they don't have a personal relationship, even as we talk about sanctification. They can't even grasp that because they have not yet submitted to you. So I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a wonderful gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Now, Lord, as we approach your word, we welcome your presence again. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. You're the guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, thank you again for your presence in this place. It's not by our might nor our power, but by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put in the chat? Amen. As we agree together, as we're back to the basics, it has been a journey. Remember, I received these topics from a younger demographic of Ebenezer and also outside of Ebenezer, just some things, some topics that were like, Pastor, we really want you to teach on these. So the Lord gave me release to kind of go through these topics. And today we are going to get back into sanctification. But before we get there, I want to go back to our memory scripture. This memory scripture, we've been reading it aloud together to get it into our minds, so it'll seep down into our spirits so that we can actually live this out, that we can walk it out. So let's go to James 1:26 and 27. James 1:26 and 27, and I ask you to read it aloud with me. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Isn't that good? As we are walking out the mandates of the Lord, He is giving us detailed directions that we can really celebrate who Christ is in our lives and share that with others. As we get back into the salvation and understanding our salvation as it's connected to sanctification, I know there are a lot of S's going on. I want to give you that definition of sanctification again. Sanctification is the concept of being set apart as sacred. Again, sanctification is the concept of being set apart as sacred. Last Sunday, I used some grapes. You remember that? And so today I have gone into the pantry and I've got some, I think these are like Tangelos. And so the picture of this is that, you know, even after salvation, as we talked about, God has saved us, there is a walk of sacredness, sanctification. So literally we're chosen and we're set aside. And think about if many are chosen and set aside for sacredness, we are connected in a wonderful way. And that's what we're going to deal with today as we think about more and more the sanctification process. Last Sunday, we were in John 17, 17. I told you this is going to be a two-part message where we were really going to peer into the prayers of Christ. We saw that in that 17th verse, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As he prayed, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And our title from last Sunday was Chosen. Yes, Chosen. Some points in review to help us to get to that final portion of that text. We talked about last Sunday connected to Jesus, walking in the Word. Jesus is praying for us. That blessed me just to realize, have that realization. He is praying for us to succeed. He is praying for us that we will submit even more to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He's a keeper. It's good to know that He keeps us. And we talked about that Jesus joy. Somebody texted me the other day and I was like, Jesus joy. I was like, I'm with you, Jesus joy. This place is not our home. As we are walking in sanctification, we realize this place is just not our home. There is a better place that's been prepare for us. And then finally, we talked about many are called, but few are chosen. On today's focus scripture, as we have been progressing through that 17th chapter with Jesus praying, I want us to go to that 22nd verse. The 22nd verse, it reads, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." I want to speak from the title today. We are family. Yes, we are family. So I use those Tangelos, and we know that sanctification is being chosen, set aside for sacredness. Well, when you get a whole bunch of people that are walking in sanctification together, you've got true family that's connected via God's presence. In 1979, I think it was, Sister Sledge, some of y'all remember, I'm already dating myself. She came out with this wonderful song where her sisters were spread out and they sang this song, "We Are Family." I was going to sing a little bit for you, but I didn't want you to get too excited. "I got all my sisters in me. We are family." And then at the end, she says, "Get up, everybody, and sing." That's what it's about as we realize, okay, God has a calling on our lives. God has a purpose for us. We celebrate. We begin to celebrate together, even though that transformation process can be tough. We celebrate that God is using us for His glory. As believers, we become one with Christ. We are family. We have truly, again, been set aside for sacredness, to lift up the Lord. Just a little review in those previous chapters and even coming in, Jesus has intercedes to the Father. He talked specifically on last Sunday to the disciples. He's praying for the disciples to the Father and how they will walk out. But today we find out He transitions to generations that will come. Yes, that includes us. The time frame is about Thursday, Friday, 33 AD, very close to the crucifixion. I think this is significant as we are barreling our way towards Resurrection Day on, I think, March 31st, just to be in context even of the season. Let's jump into this final section of this scripture as Jesus prays at 17 and 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Here's one word point, believe. Yes, believe. Now, I wanted to spend a bit of time on this word because a lot of times you talk to people like, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I gave you some statistics on last Sunday about how many identify with being a Christian. And we came to the conclusion, if that is true, then that means someone's not getting it right. So I wanted to go to the Greek and just bring out really what this belief system or word means. In the Greek, it means to be true. Yes, to be true. I need some quick typers in the chat. To be true. Wherever you're standing, sitting, say to be true. So belief is beyond just saying it. You got to know it to be true. That's what sanctification does. It really builds on and it builds inside of us to know that God is real, that he's true, that his word is true. It makes us a family. Here there's a transition from Jesus praying for his disciples, those that were around him, to those that would come. As we said, those generations that would come, and we who are engrafted in the Gentiles, he is actually specifically praying for us here. So it's good to get into the scriptures to see the things that he prayed for us. He prayed that we can grow in him, that we can become more like him. Close to 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed this prayer for us. There ought to be some hands lifted up to say, thank you, Lord. 2,000 years ago, he had us on his mind. We weren't even born, but we find out in the scriptures that from the foundations of the earth, he already knew us. But I don't want you to forget this part in John 17, 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. To believe in God's word is to read it, listen to it, and live it. God spoke, he's like, put this down. I want my people to realize what this belief process is, sanctification, what it's doing in them. To believe in God's word is to read it, to listen to it, and live it. The question is, are you walking in sanctification? Are you reading God's word? Are you living the word? Are you walking in the word? Romans 10:16 says it like this, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are family. Notice here in John 17:21, as this prayer, it really, he digs in. And if anybody knows how to pray, it's Jesus, that they all may be one. Can you put in the chat one? As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Here's the point. We are one in the Spirit. Yes, we are one in the Spirit. I remember there was a song, we are one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord. There was a group, and I forget the name of that group. When I was in Chapel Hill with my wife, she was a part of it. I would come in from the military, and we would have Bible studies together, and they would sing that every time starting out that group. And I thought it was a kind of strange song, but very scripture. We're one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord. We're one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord. And that's what family is about. That's what sanctification, what God is doing to really make us family. Theologian MacDonald, he captures the oneness in this scripture. He says he was praying that believers might be one in exhibiting the character of God and of Christ. This is what would cause the world to believe that God had sent him. This is the unity which makes the world say, I see Christ in those Christians as the Father was seen in Christ. That's what sanctification is. We want the world to say, I see Christ. Even if you don't believe in him to know that he's true, you can see at least they're living it out. At least they're exemplifying who Christ is. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says it like this, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We are family. And so as we were being set apart, chosen, walking in that sacred path, we are deeply connected one with another. John 17:22, that first part, and the glory which you gave me. In the Greek here, this glory, I want you to get this. This is the Shekinah or the shining of God or the unspoken manifestation of God. Yes, this is that sanctification walk. We really come to the point of seeing God's glory in us. Yes, God's shining, the Shekinah, the manifestation of God. We become close to him. And again, he separates us to the extent that we can be used in a powerful way amongst our family and friends and our lives. We can know that God is with us. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. We are family who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of God, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. There it is, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We are family. The sanctified will show the shining of God in their lives. I want you to get that. The sanctified. Can you put in the chat, sanctified. The sanctified will show the shining of God in their lives. That Shekinah, that reflection, the manifestation of who God is. That is the walk of sanctification. That is really exemplifying the family that God is producing within his body. Look at John 17:23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. I love this point. Tangled up in Jesus. Yes, tangled up in Jesus. If you notice that, it said perfect. I want that perfect one, that mature. And that's what that growing. All of us are growing in the Lord. Any amens out there? All of us. We look back over our lives. We have not been perfect, but we see in the scriptures here, God is maturing us. Theologian Edward Henson, he said this. He said, the idea here is that of completeness, not sinless perfection. The ultimate result of that unity will be that the world will see God's love revealed through the believers. Yeah, they will know us by our love. They will know. They will say, you know what? They're not regular. They're different. We are seeing more and more of Christ. This is sanctification. This is getting back to the basics that all believers should really be submitting themselves more and more to God's will. Oh, the blessedness of just being united with Christ. The Spirit speaks about this unity, this connection in Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, how will they keep warm? They will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Some amens out there. I know it's getting a little warm out there, but listen to this. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. What God is bringing out of Ecclesiastes is saying, you know, when I'm with you, when you're connected with me, you're more. We all know that. We've got the Holy Spirit on the inside, but when we walk in him and we embrace him more, we can see significant change, and we can see and witness that people's lives are being impacted for the kingdom of God. As we get to know Christ, the world will actually see, hear me, will see God in us. We are family. Look at John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. Isn't this an intricate prayer? Listen to this, that they may behold my glory, that shining, that Shekinah, the manifestation of the Father, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. I love this point. Show us your glory. Yes, show us your glory. Now we built on that Shekinah, that shining. It's the same thing, you know. Oftentimes you could say, if you saw a pregnant lady, you could say, man, you're glowing. Now you got to be careful, because if you say that and they're not pregnant, you can get in trouble. There ought to be some amens out there. But it used to be you could see, man, there's something different about you. There is a glow that's occurring. This is actually what sanctification does. It gives us a glow. It doesn't depend on the pigmentation of your skin. It depends on what's on the inside and how close you're getting to the Lord. Remember Moses in the Old Testament. There are a lot of different examples I could bring. Just Moses being in the presence of God, you could remember his face shone. He had to put a veil on it because he was in God's presence. He showed that Shekinah, that glory. Sanctification helps us to behold the glory of God. Moses said one time, he said, show me your glory, God. I want to see your glory. We actually get to see a portion of the glory of Jesus Christ revealed to us in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. You see that? The glory. We are family. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Christ's glory is radiant. Yes, it's bright. Notice what happens to John when he comes into the presence of God. And as a family, we're going to sense this, because God is going to be using us more in the sanctification process in Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as dead. Anybody falling down at the feet of our Savior and say, God, I just thank you. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. We are family. God is doing a significant thing within the body now. And as we learn about sanctification, give ourselves more to him, I am telling you, we're going to see more of God's presence. Look at this final section of John 17:25. He says, oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. He's like, God, this is your son crying out to you, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Here's our final point. One word. We started off with one word. We're going to end with one word in point. Smitten. Yes. Smitten. Now, I know some of you are like, smitten, S-M-I-T-T-E-N. What is that? It is not used a lot within our language, but it really encapsulates what we're talking about today. We are family. So I'm going to define it for you. Smitten is to be strongly attracted to someone or something. That second building of the definition of that. We know that you can smite someone, but that smiting, as we take it to a love relationship for God, it means that we're totally attracted to him. I'm telling you, we're thinking about Christ and we're celebrating Christ. We can truly say, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul shouts out hallelujah. That's what sanctification does for us. It gets us into a smitten state. Are there any saints in there say, I just love Jesus? Can you put it in the chat? I love Jesus. Wherever you're standing, sitting, say, I love Jesus. On the eve of Jesus Jesus being crucified, only just a small portion of the people even believed in him. They were in the midst, and we thought that they were connected as family. But think of this. Judas Iscariot was close to him. Judas Iscariot walked with him. They saw miracles, signs, and wonders, but yet he would betray the Christ with a kiss. I'm telling you, Christ came that we could actually know who he was in the bottom of our heart, and we would stand. Think about Peter. Peter said, God, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And if a fight breaks out, I'm not going to run. I'm going to stand and fight. But yet that same Peter, after they take Jesus to the cross of Calvary, we'll find out that same Peter will look back, and he is actually denied him three times. I'm telling you, but I'm so glad that Jesus walked among men, healing the sick and raising the dead, simply because he wanted to make family. He taught like none other so that he can make family. But there ought to be some saints say, I see where you're going, Pastor. Aren't you glad he went all the way to Calvary? He didn't go halfway, but he went all the way to Calvary and took nails in his hands and nails in his feet for family. Yes, yes, blood came streaming down. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. On that cross of Calvary, he gave up the ghost. He died for our sanctification. He died for the family. They put him in a cold grave, but 3 days later, he gets up for the family so that we could walk in sanctification, that we could become more like him. Saints, Jesus prayed for us. I realize in this season, there are a lot of challenges. I realize as we look at our political realm, we're like, man, God, which way? What do we do? We pray. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. I realize as we look outside the United States and we see the struggles that are still in Ukraine and Russia, we see the struggles that are in Israel and Gaza, the massive loss of life. We wonder, in a technologically advanced society, how can we still be doing this? We need a savior. That's what's happening. The enemy is stepping up his attack. But as we progress in sanctification, as we become more like Jesus, we can tell a dying and dark world that Christ lives. He lives today. We are one in the spirit, saints. We have a calling on our lives. If you don't know Christ today, I beckon you. Would you fall in love with my Savior? We want you to be smitten with his love. We want you to be so attracted to God. How do you do that? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the scripture says you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Will you embrace that gift today? To the saints, my final calling to you is to walk strong today. Don't wait till tomorrow, but I want you to fall head over heels in love with the Lord even more and walk in sanctification. Let's walk in and embrace the fact that God has set us aside to be sacred. And let's show the glory of God, that shining, that Shekinah glory in us, that the world can see. You know what? Jesus is alive and well, and we know that he's coming back. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for this word. Thank you, Jesus, for praying for us. We need you. And even now, you're seated on the right hand of the Father. And what are you doing? You're interceding for us. Thank you for that. I thank you for the lives that are being saved right now. I thank you, God, for those that you allow, your saints, as we continue into sanctification, to testify, to give witness to give the good news, and that we'll see souls be saved, all because your mighty hand and your powerful spirit. Lord, we thank you for that. Finally, Lord, I pray for those that are struggling in their lives right now. Maybe they've got a bad diagnosis, or maybe they need healing in their body, Father God. As they're continuing this sanctification, let them know that you are still a miracle worker, Lord. And I ask you right now that testimonies will come of your miracle hand touching them. But at the same time, you are a sustainer. And so, Father, whatever your will is in their situation, I thank you that they'll know that you'll never leave them or forsake them, that all things are possible to those that believe. thank you, God, for choosing us, setting us up for sacredness. Thank you for sanctification. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Cause he's my. Oh, can't no, no, nobody. Can't no, 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 nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Cause he's my.
Jesus.
Can't nobody touch me like Jesus.
Can't nobody move me like Jesus.
Nobody. Nobody. No, nobody. Mother can't do me. Father can't do me. My sister can't do me.
Jesus.
Can't nobody love me like Jesus.
Can't nobody.